Victoria Woodhull, spiritualist, suffragist, free lover, and in her time, the most famous woman in the United States. In 1872, she ran for president. By the time of her death, she'd been nearly erased from history. Until now. Welcome to UMO Ensemble's Vic, the life and times of Victoria C. Woodhull, future presidentess. Episode 1, It Is Time.
Our story, the story of me, the first woman to run for president of the United States. My story unfolds in more than one time and more than one place. In the world, you may consider the real one, the one you can touch. And in the world of spirit, of vision, where reflections shift and flicker, intertwine until time and place alike become blurred. We shall travel fast, faster than even my motor car could take us, as fast as the waves that come into my radio from points unknown, from the rutted dirt roads of barely settled Ohio to the marble halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. Much of our tale unfolds in the throbbing, chaotic heart of America, the city of New York, during the years following the American Civil War, a time of such promise. I am an ocean away from America now. In my bedroom, in my lovely manor house, with its peaceful gardens on my 1,200-acre estate in the quiet English countryside. It is a lovely evening. My window is still open. The peonies are blooming. I love peonies. I have lived here with my daughter and son for the last many decades. My daughter, Zulu, has been attempting to write my biography for a very long time. It is a complicated endeavor. I am a complicated endeavor. And my daughter, she does not know. We had hoped to set the record straight. Time is so slippery. What day is it for you? For me, it is a Thursday, the 9th day of June in the year 1927. It is the last night of my life. My life. To have any hope of understanding, you must, we must.
Mama.
Listen. We must begin at the very beginning, Zulu. Ohio, Christmas Eve, 1837. It is cold as death outside, but we are inside a tent filled with wood smoke, lantern light, and bodies and souls on the brink. On the third and final night of a Methodist revival meeting.
Sinners, can you hear me? Your salvation is calling you.
I hear you.
Filth and evil cling to your soul. Can you feel it?
Oh, yes.
Can you feel the desire, evil desire, winding its way around your very soul? Have you lusted?
Oh, yes.
I said, have you lusted?
Oh, yes.
Are you standing on the very precipice of evil?
Yes.
Look! Look into the abyss of darkness in front of you. Can you see it?
Yes.
Can you feel the fires of hell licking at your feet? Unending torment, Satan himself grasping at your ankles. And are you afraid? I said, are you afraid?
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
You are standing on the very edge of hell. And there is only one power that can help you?
Glory!
I said only one can help you. Who is that one?
Jesus!
Do you want the Lord?
Yes.
Do you crave the Lord?
Yes.
Do you want to be born again in the light of the Lord?
Yes.
Call out his name. Open your hearts. Open yourselves. Speak, glory!
I am born again in the blood of the Lamb.
And thus, I was conceived.
That's a good beginning.
It is, isn't it? A good beginning to a cracking good story.
You never said...
Is the radio on?
The doctor's here.
What? Why?
You've been agitated.
I'm dying, Zulu. And I do not need a doctor.
I was on my way home, madam, and I thought I'd call round.
Go away.
Mama.
I liked my old doctor.
Dr. Stone has been retired.
Useless man.
Your daughter says that you have been troubled by voices, madam.
I am not troubled. I have always communed with the spirit world.
Really?
I want this on my tombstone. You cannot understand a woman's work by what she has accomplished.
But by what she has overcome in accomplishing it.
Ah, paraphrase of Kant, I believe.
And if it is?
I prefer your version.
Have you been unhappy, madam?
Wouldn't you be if you were dying?
I expect I would.
Doctor?
Yes.
How may I help you, madam?
I'm tired now. I want to be alone.
I understand. I shall stop in and see you tomorrow.
No. You will see my husk only.
Doctor.
Miss Woodhull, perhaps you could show me out.
Oh. Of course. I'll be right back, Mama.
Victoria.
Old friend, I've missed you.
It is time.
It is time. My story.
Time.
The story of me. The first woman president. Zulu, I was supposed to change the world.
You did.
I was erased.
No.
I was forsaken.
You were not
forgotten.
Forsaken. That's not true. Look.
What is it?
It's the latest issue of the New Yorker.
Never liked it.
With a column about you.
About me?
By Mr. Green, the gentleman who used to write to you so often.
Annoying man.
Shall I read it?
If you wish.
That was New York. Today, the New Yorker casts its eye back 50 years to one of the most riotous, tumultuous eras our city has ever seen. Now and again, as women bowl over the remaining barricades, there rises the shyly suggested possibility that one day there may be a feminine candidate for president.
What?
There's no reason for the romanticism that surrounds the idea. A woman already ran for president in 1872. A time when women's place was in the home, with the doors locked and the shutters closed.
Ha!
There is little civic pride in the boast that this pioneer was a New Yorker, for her choice of residence could not have been otherwise. On that election day in November 1872, Mrs. Victoria Claflin Woodhull's address was Ludlow Street Jail.
No. Why?
Mama, hush.
Why? Why
please.
Do they...
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Read it.
It is difficult to peer through the dust of half a century and see clearly the stormiest season of America's greatest age of scandal. The outlines are blurred, and the lady in question fortressed in her own small village kingdom of Breedon's Norton, England, where she has long lived as the wealthy widow of English banking heir John Biddulph Martin. But in the brief span in which she really lived, Victoria Woodhull was one of the most outrageous characters in American history.
Oh, always. They always...
Here.
I don't want water.
I'll ring for tea.
I want to go for a drive.
It's nearly dark.
Ring for the car!
Mama!
I wanted to see... Sister.
Victoria, come here. It's dark out.
Mama?
Well, well, well. Look at little Vicky now.
Daddy.
Blood. James Blood.
Married on the spot.
The domestic sphere is the primary sphere.
Ugly old bat.
She takes good care of me, Vicky does.
He was a drunk.
A hero complex. That's clearly what ails her.
Hypocrite!
I should take care of you, my dear.
Johnny, I'm so tired.
Victoria, it's time.
It's time?
You are called. It is time.
The inside of a tornado.
The inside of a tornado. Mrs. Satan.
The most notorious women of their time.
Yes, I am a free lover.
Free lover.
Hard, through and through.
Free love? Free sex?
I have an inalienable right to love whom I may.
Is that a fact?
Fact. Is a tiny, petty little word.
And what be truth? What be fact?
Excuse me?
You have quite a story, madam.
I do. A story full of courage. Courage and valor and strength.
And hubris, perhaps.
What?
Scandal?
Who are you?
Scandal upon scandal, I believe.
I did not ask you.
But you do need me.
I do not.
You don't think you could use some assistance in telling a tale so full of complex, rich humanity?
Are you flattering me?
It is a hell of a story, madam, if you'll pardon my French.
You're very cheeky.
You have long been an inspiration, and I am an excellent teller of tales.
I followed your career with diligence for many years. You may not recall, but I wrote about you during your rise. I believe I could bring an organizing influence to the tale.
Well, my daughter can't seem to. She doesn't even believe spirits like you exist. She persists in thinking I simply imagine you all. She won't even stop fussing long enough to listen.
She's worried.
I can't seem to get her to understand me anymore.
That is not uncommon.
We have always had an excellent relationship.
This can be a difficult time.
Why?
We should begin, madam.
Who precisely are you?
I am your shepherd, madam.
I am a lion, not a lamb.
I meant only that I am here to help guide your journey, and to perhaps assist you in putting any regrets to rest.
My only regret is the stupidity of others.
Then, perhaps I can simply be an additional guide for those listening. Ensure that your triumphs are properly recorded for posterity, as it were.
With your permission, of course.
I suppose it can't hurt.
Excellent.
Now then, you have already shared a glimpse of your dramatic conception. Brilliantly, I must add. So may I suggest we turn to the time your career was first revealed, as your gifts were beginning to more fully manifest.
When I was on the brink.
September 1848, 10 years after your birth to Roxy Anna Claflin, your German immigrant mother, and what would be the most accurate word for your father? Shyster?
Entrepreneur.
Of course.
The entrepreneurial Reuben Claflin, known to all as Buck. We find ourselves with you, your parents, and several Claflin siblings in a tiny, disheveled cabin in the sparsely settled state of Ohio.
Vicky. Inside Vicky the tornado.
Little Vicky Claflin.
Little Vicky.
Brush baby's hair.
Have
her
brush
the baby's hair.
He's in jail.
Blood
rises.
Mama.
Jesus.
Vicky
Claflin.
Rivers rise.
Stealing horses.
We rise.
On the tree.
Settling
for a queen.
We rise.
What voices?
Vicky. Vicky Claflin.
Daddy?
You daydreaming again?
No, I was...
What are you doing with my newspaper?
I'm just looking at it.
You trying to read it?
I reckon I could.
Ah, balderdash. Be useful now and help your mama.
Utica, you bring in wood.
Why do I always gotta bring in wood?
Hush up, Utica.
Vicky, you'll brush baby's hair.
I'm not a baby.
You're the baby, Teddy. It's why we all love you.
Plus, I'm pretty.
Ooh, the very prettiest.
The Homer Herald. I wonder if there's anything in here about me this week, huh, Ma?
Why? What have you done?
Well. Looky here, town's needing a new postmaster.
Postmaster?
Well, I can read and write, can't I? Better than being a goddamn farmer.
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Ooh, just think, all them packages.
No, you will not.
Oh, no. Don't be having a conniption, woman. I ain't talking about stealing horses.
And painting them black.
And getting caught when it rains.
What's that?
Drecken smitten und afflicted, see him
all
dying.
All right, woman. Bloomers, good God almighty.
What's a bloomer, Daddy?
Listen to this, Ma. There are ladies wearing pants up in New York State, wearing pants and bossing men around.
July 19th, 1848. The first national gathering of its kind takes place in the small town of Seneca Falls, New York. Approximately 300 individuals of both genders gather at a convention addressing the rights of women, or more precisely, the lack thereof. Elizabeth Cady Stanton opens the convention with her Declaration of Rights and Sentiments.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The history of mankind is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations on the part of men toward women. He has never permitted her to exercise her inalienable right to the elective franchise. Having deprived her of this first right of a citizen, he has oppressed her on all sides. He has compelled her to submit to laws in the formation of which she had no voice. He has made her, if married, in the eye of the law,
civilly dead.
Vicky, why are you looking funny again?
Huh?
You're white as a sheet, girl.
But the voices.
What voices? What do you hear?
Nothing.
Victoria, you tell your mom.
I want to go to one of those convention things when I grow up.
Man alive, you are crazy as a loon, girl.
She sure is, Daddy.
Oh, hush up. Women wanting to be in charge, my foot. Somebody ought to take a switch to them. Well. I said, well.
Now what does it say?
The Rochester Knockers.
Why are you hitting the table, Daddy?
He is a dumbkopf.
$1 a visit. Holy smokes alive.
What's a knockin', Daddy? What's that mean?
Spiritualism.
Huh?
Crowds flock to the home of Mrs. Margaret and Kate Fox, where mysterious knockings from the spirit world manifest themselves through two innocent and love-filled creatures.
Spirit world?
Two little girls seeing ghosts and telling tales. and charging $1 a visit?
Is that a lot?
Christ almighty, Ma. We gotta add some knocks and raps to your fortune telling. Spice it up. We're gonna make more than that magnetism fella at the spa to fail. Remember him? Ma called himself a mesmerizer or something.
There was a two-headed cow.
Huh?
A two-headed cow.
What in the hell are you talking about, Utica?
At the fair in the tent next door to Mama's, there was a cow with two heads. I saw it.
That wasn't real, silly.
I saw it with mine own eyes.
Hush up, Utica.
Two-headed cows, fortune-telling lies. Ich werd nicht. I tell no more fortunes. Ich bin fertig. You are a bad egg, and I say I do no more.
Well, now, I'd like to see you try.
Oh. Strecken, smitten, unafflicted, see him dying.
All right, woman, just stop.
Dunkoff.
Well, let me think. Well, if you ain't going to tell the fortune, somebody else is going to have
to. I can do it, Daddy.
Somebody like little Vicky. I mean, look at her right now, all pale and feverish looking. Imagine her wearing a nice white dress, swaying back and forth, eyes all aflutter, and then she pops up and says, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, your little baby's laughing with the angels in heaven. Now that'll be $1.
No.
Oh, you know she's got the gift, Ma. Remember how the baby stopped breathing when she was just a few weeks old?
I did?
I could bet the soup.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Our sweet little Tennessee was cold as ice.
I was?
You were blue.
Mm-hmm. And then little Vicky laid her hand on her baby sister's tiny little head.
You did?
And whoosh, the life rushed straight back in.
Oh. Christ Jesus.
And look at little Tenny now. Healthy as a rabbit and pretty as a little picture.
Oh,
Vicky. When Tenny's a little older, I bet them Ohio Claflin girls can wrap them New York Fox girls right out of the picture.
What are you gonna do, Daddy?
Huh?
Sounds like I'd be doing all the work.
Shh! Dumb's matching.
Well, who'd know about you if I didn't tell him, hmm? Besides, you're old enough to start contributing.
No.
What?
No.
Mine angel's protector.
Uh-oh.
I hear voices, too, just like Mama does.
You hear voices?
What voices?
And I won't make up lies about them, either.
You will do as I say.
I won't.
Outside. Now.
Uh-oh, Vicky.
Shh.
Mama.
Hush.
The domestic sphere is the primary sphere in the sole responsibility of the American wife and mother. The education of daughters should occupy the mother's principal attention. Needlework, drawing, and music should alternate with domestic pursuits. The stimulation of any intellect should be very much reduced.
No!
You're a smart one, Vicky. But I'm your daddy, and I always will be. Family's important.
Family is everything. Treatise on Domestic Economy, copyright 1842, published by HarperCollins, authored by me, Catherine Beecher.
An unmarried, dried-up old virgin.
Madam, you must not interrupt.
But it is my story, sir.
With many other lives and voices winding through it. And if you insist on not listening to them, you become as guilty of erasure as those who have angered you for so long.
Well.
And time does press, madam. As you know.
Then carry on. I shall remain silent, as much as possible.
Thank you. We return to your younger self.
Not a good girl. Victoria, come right.
Don't care what you need.
Don't listen to no devil voices.
Thought they were angels.
Come help us a baby.
My baby's not right.
We're gonna have our own baby someday and live next door to each other.
You're not.
You gotta watch that mouth of yours, Vicky. Family's family.
Families.
Victoria.
Named for the Queen of England. I could be queen. Queen of the world.
Brush baby's hair.
What?
Victoria, Queen of the World.
Who are you?
I am Demosthenes.
What?
My name is Demosthenes. It is Greek. For now, know that I am your spirit general.
Are you from heaven?
No. The only heaven or hell I inhabit is the one on this world.
I don't...
Heaven is but an illusion created by small minds to control smaller ones.
Oh, you are... you're a demon.
I am no demon, Victoria. You need not fear me.
Mama!
No! You must refrain from discussing me with your mother. She cannot see me as you do, but she quite dislikes me.
She does?
Very much so.
Huh. Why?
Some minds are smaller than others.
I can see you because I'm smarter than her?
Gifted though you are, there is still much to learn. Do not embrace pride so early in life. Now then, there already is a Queen Victoria. You are meant to forge a new path. I mikres efkaires ainai sichna I archi megalon epiherision.
Small opportunities are often the beginning of great enterprises.
Oliai omilia ainai matai kai adia, ektos ion sinodevtai apodrasi.
All speech is empty unless accompanied by action.
You're back. You were asleep.
Demosthenes.
Your invisible Greek statesman.
And orator. He put pebbles in his mouth, Zulu, to learn how to speak.
I hope they were clean.
He was my first friend. My only...
I don't trust him.
Neither did your grandmother. Where is that young man?
The doctor will be back tomorrow morning.
Not him. I don't like him. The other one, the cheeky fellow.
No one has been here, except for the doctor you sent away.
Just because you cannot see them does not mean they don't exist.
The Life and Times of Victoria C. Woodhull, Future Presidentess, continues with Episode 2, Step Right Up. Written by Maria Glanz, directed by Elizabeth Klobe, with sound design by James Bigby Garver. For a full list of participating artists and future broadcasts, please visit UMO Ensemble at www.umo.org. Thank you to the National Endowment for the Arts, For Culture, Norcliffe Foundation, Horizons Foundation, and generous private donors.